You're listening to the Sermon Podcast from St. Albans Episcopal Church in Waco, Texas. Find us online at stalbanswaco.org to learn more.
Let us pray. Almighty God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. You probably know what it's like to work under someone that you don't really want to work under, that is like maybe a bad manager or a bad leader. Help me. No, Aaron's actually not here this Sunday, so I'm like, I don't get to like make the joke that I want to make. So anyway, but you know these bosses, you know these managers, you know these people, you've had these jobs. And I'm thinking particularly about the manager that's in the 1999 film Office Space. Yes, thank you. I heard a yes. That was a good one. So Bill is passive aggressive. He's a bad boss. He gets kind of managed by the people under him as well to get him to do what he wants. But he always has this line, and when he's wanting people to do things, he says, if you could just blank, 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 that would be great. And it's always this line, if you could just make some copies and give me a copy, that would be great. And it's, you want your boss, you want someone who's managing you to tell you what to do. You don't want this passive aggressive kind of awkward thing to be said. But whether it's a manager, whether it's a teacher, if you're a student or a professor that you can think of, you know, if you've been on a team, you know what a good leader and a bad leader looks like. You've served under these people. You've worked under these types of people. And we just walked through an election cycle where we were told what makes a good person, what makes a good leader, not person, leader, what makes a bad leader. And we have all of the election campaigns that is barraging us with words telling us what a good leader is and isn't. And what we don't have as Americans on this Christ the King Sunday, though, I think we struggle with one thing about Christ the King Sunday, and you know where I'm going to say. We don't have a king in America. It's kind of our thing. The United States made it a point not to have a king, not to be under this type of ruler. And so when we get to this last Sunday in the Sundays after Pentecost, in the season after Pentecost, Christ the King Sunday comes around, and I think we have a hard time wrapping our heads around what a good king actually looks like, like for us and for in our lives. And just as an example, when King Charles III was having his coronation in 2022, I read that Joe Biden did not attend the coronation, and I read the history on why, and no American president has ever gone to any monarch's coronation in England, and he sent a delegation instead, someone to go in his stead. And I'm not normally like a pretty patriotic person or anything like that, but I read that and I was like, yeah, that's right, we don't send anyone. I was like, no way. The eagle's screeching, Toby Keith's playing, and I'm like, let's go, let's go. It's like when I get into Olympics mode. You know what I'm talking about? That's a little bit. But we have this issue where we get to Christ the King and we have a problem thinking about what a good king is, thinking about what a good ruler is, someone who would rule for decades, who takes the long view on everything, someone who would be able to listen to us yet still be really far from us. That's a hard thing, I think, even though we don't have a king, for us to catch. But we do know these bad leaders or these frustrating to work with people that don't want to listen to our needs, don't want to listen to your needs. They don't want to give you what you need to succeed. You've been in these types of relationships where this happens, where they refuse to acknowledge the worth that you know you have, that you can do, and you're told this is just the way things are, and you have to deal with it. So what would it be like to have someone that you could depend on? What would it be like to have someone who knows you, who knows your lot in life, and acts accordingly? This is what so many people strive for when they're trying to get ahead, and when we want to be close to these people that are in power, because they are the ones that hold the keys, open the doors, and we spend a lot of time convincing these people that we're indispensable, that you should care about me because X. Spoiler alert, Christ already knows that you're indispensable, and he knows your worth, And he has said as much by the way that he acts as a king. He goes to those who are sick. He goes to the people that we would not interact with, the lowly people. And he gives them the time of day. And more than anything, though, he gives himself, all of himself, for the life of the world. The Gospel of John that we heard read today is a bit of a black sheep in like the Gospel family out of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And Matthew, Mark, and Luke give a whole lot of airtime to the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God. Jesus is always talking about what his kingdom will look like. You've heard maybe some parables that Jesus gives. The kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven is like blank, blank, blank. John, though, doesn't have all the time this interest in the kingdom and what it looks like. Not into the same level of dedication that the other writers have. You have to remember these gospel writers are writing about the life of Jesus, but they're all doing it separately. It'd be like if we took four people that know you and we put them in separate rooms and we had them write an account of your life or a section of your life. It's going to be different. We're going to get a nice full picture. But if we put your grandma in one room and an ex-boyfriend in another room from 15 years ago, hopefully they're going to write different things, and that would be kind of fun for us to get to see, I think. Yeah. I hope your grandma's not writing the same thing that your like exes are writing, by the way. So we come to this gospel passage in John, and we hear two names that we hear every Sunday. We hear Jesus Christ, or Jesus, and then we hear Pontius Pilate. Pontius Pilate, this Roman administrator representing the interests of the empire, representing Caesar, representing the emperor, and any upstart claiming to be anything, taking on the role of a king, the role of Caesar, would be put down accordingly. And Pontius Pilate was the hand of how that got done in this area of the world. And so Jesus and Pontius Pilate, both who are in our creeds that we say every Sunday as well, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. It's kind of in the middle of the creeds, so if you get a little sleepy, it's okay if you're like, okay, I kind of know that name. But it's in the middle of the creeds when we hear his name. And there's this joke I heard recently that seeing Pontius Pilate's name in the creed is like seeing it's like grabbing the guy who's playing down at the YMCA basketball and putting him on the Olympic team with LeBron James. Like, we have God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit, and Pontius Pilate is somewhere there too. Like, what on earth is, why are we talking about him? Why is he in the creeds? But he's there for an important reason. It's crucial that he's there because it points to this thing that Jesus was tried by our own authorities, by the authorities of our world, by the authorities that dispense our version of what justice should look like, what fairness should look like. And even a representative of the Roman emperor comes to Jesus and asks him directly through Pilate, do you rule like I do? Do you rule like I do? Pilate is in charge of getting to the bottom of why Jesus is making people so angry, why what he is saying is upsetting these religious leaders, and they complain about him so often. And in verse 37, this is an interrogation scene. He says to Jesus, are you a king? And Jesus answers, you say that I'm a king. Pilate doesn't get the answer he wants. He wants to be able to put Jesus to death and say, yeah, he thought he was doing something that he shouldn't have been doing. But Jesus does not admit to Pilate that he is a king. Pilate has this authority to execute him and then go sleep soundly at night, and the religious leaders' accusations are not enough to sentence him to death. So Pilate almost gets to hear what he wants to hear. Jesus talks about his kingdom, but in verse 36, he says that his own kingdom doesn't function in the way that Caesar's functions. He says that if he was really a king, wouldn't his followers be here breaking him out, heist style, getting him out and keeping him safe? He does not seem to rule in the same way that Caesar does. So instead of answering Pilate directly, Jesus tells him that he's here to talk about the truth. He's here to talk about the truth. The truth that despite all the trappings and all of the refusal to rule in the same way that Caesar does, Jesus still is a king. And in the words of our opening prayer that we heard today, our opening collect our prayer for Christ the King Sunday. Christ, all peoples of the earth, divided and enslaved by sin, may be freed and brought together under his, Jesus, under his most gracious rule. The Hebrew Bible and the Old Testament is full of kings. It's full of prophets, priests, and kings. That's something we hear sometimes, prophets, priests, and kings. And Jesus takes the mantle of all of these prophets, all of these priests, and all of these kings and kind of just puts it on and wears it. He is the fulfillment of all of these prophets, of Samuel, of David, this king, of Solomon, of Elijah, of Anna in the Gospel of Luke. All of these people point to Jesus and are fulfilled in Jesus. They bleed together in his life. And so what kind of king is Jesus? Well, typical rulers rule over others by leveraging power, by executing their judgments based on whatever law is on the books. They demand respect based on merit, not based on merit, but on title alone. And we have with Jesus a poor, powerless peasant born in a backwater region under some sketchy circumstances, and a people subject to a foreign ruler, Caesar, who lives far away, and he lives as a day laborer, as a carpenter. He does not rule on a throne that is far away, but he rules near to us, nearer to us than we expect. That's the paradox that we hear when we know Christ the King. Christ is the King, as we read in Revelation and in other sections of the Bible. But he is this King that the gospel writers really bring close to us. He's a King that is close, that is more near to us than we are often aware of. Which is why so often we fall back and we know that this king who, when we think of a king, is far away, is actually not. He is close to us when we need him the most. When you are at your weakest moments, at the end of your rope, having to go to HEB to shop for all the Thanksgiving things, maybe, he is close to you. He is close to you when you are in a point where you need to call a friend to stay the night, and you have to tell your friend why you can't stay at home. He is close to you in all of the anxiety and the fear and the grief that comes up for some of us around this time of year. And he is a king that comes to tell us a truth, which is why he talked to Pilate about truth at the end of that reading there. The truth that God is for us, that God is for you, not against you, and that God has come near to you and continually gets nearer and nearer to you through these waters of baptism and through the table when we come together. The Christian life is not about merit badges, unfortunately. You might have been told this, that the Christian life is about merit badges, that if you do certain things, you get certain things. The Christian life is about living under this King, listening for his voice, listening for this truth that God is for you, not against you. And that's what we're doing when we read the Bible, when we pray, and when we come to this table together for communion. We gather around Christ, who is our King, who does not rule as the kings and as our rulers rule, but comes near to us. This whole Christian year, this whole calendar that begins anew next week and the first Sunday of Advent, is a way that calls us to remembrance. Even the way that we're sitting in this church, we are constantly being called to remember who we are in Christ and who Christ is. Advent, the coming of Christ, his coming as a child, but his second coming as well, this is what we remember then. At Christmas, the nativity of our Lord. At Easter, we remember his resurrection. We celebrate his resurrection. At Pentecost, the gift of the Holy Spirit that comes upon his disciples in Acts 2. These are all things throughout the Christian year, these holidays. This is why we change the things that we wear and all of the little trappings that we have. They all point to remind us of who we are in our Lord, and to remind us of this truth, that God is for you, not against you. I think about, I get reminded often of this in church services, and I think about the scene in The Lion King where Mufasa has, in case you haven't seen it, Mufasa dies, but Simba's looking up at the sky. I know, watch out. And James Earl Jones, his voice is Mufasa's voice, and he's telling Simba, remember, you know, yes. This is what happens in worship. This is why we have so many crosses around, why we have the bread and why we have the wine and why we do the things that we do. It is to remember this truth that God is for you, not against you. And Christ the King Sunday invites us to remember that the reign of Christ is not lording over others and ruling as our Caesars rule, but it is something else. It is coming to us, coming close to us. We are most alive when we remember that this God is in the midst of us. When we remember and trust that Christ is the type of king that can make us truly alive, truly free, and truly full of hope. Christ the King is good news. It is news of life, and it is news of life in abundance. Thanks be to God.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon Podcast from St. Albans Episcopal Church in Waco, Texas. Find us online at stalbanswaco.org to learn more.